And last week we started a series entitled Bold, as we look at events from Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. And I want to continue with that series today, and we're going to be looking in the book of Acts again. But before we do, our theme verse for the series is found in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 1, where the writer of Proverbs said, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." And our theme, of course, being the boldness that Christ brings into our lives. We're going to read Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. If you have your Bibles, if you'd read with me. If you don't have your Bibles, read with me from the screen. If you have your phone and you have your Bible on your phone, well, read along from your phone. And let's read together. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is." And this is the second week in our Bold series. Today, I want to speak on the subject of praying bold prayers. Praying bold prayers. Let's pray as we get ready to see what the Lord has for us today. Father, I pray that you will challenge each person here as you've already challenged me. Lord, as I was preparing for this message, I pray that you'll challenge us. I pray that you will speak to us. I pray that, Lord, we will leave here, Lord, with fresh faith. I pray that we'll leave here, Lord, with a fresh challenge in our lives. Lord, that we will believe you for even greater things than we've already seen. And Lord, I pray that you will just minister now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. And I am going to try to be I'm going to try and teach this morning. We were in service last night and got back, I guess, this morning after midnight, and had a great time in the anniversary service for the church in Gatineau. And I told myself when I was going up there that I was going to take it easy on my voice when I was preaching, and well, that didn't happen. And between Purpose Institute yesterday morning and preaching last night and a little bit of sinus something, my voice is suffering just a little bit. So if I squeak, you know, it's just one of those things. But this morning, I want to pick up where we left off from last week. Last week, we looked at the events of Acts chapter 4. And going back into Acts chapter 3, and we talked about boldness. Now, I want to just recap a couple of things. First of all, that boldness is behavior that's born out of belief. That's the definition that we're working with. That boldness is behavior that is born out of belief, because what I believe determines how I will act. If I believe that God is a great God, I will act differently. If I believe that God is a loving God, I will live my life differently. If I believe that God is at work in my life, I will respond differently. So, boldness is behavior that is born out of belief. This week, I want to speak to you about this. That what you pray and what you pray for reflects what you believe about God. What you pray for and how you pray for it reflects what you believe about God. That the way I pray, the subjects that I pray for, the things I pray for, reflect what I believe about God. Or if we were to turn that around, we could say that what you don't pray for also reflects what you believe about God. So what you pray for reflects what you believe about God, and what you don't pray for reflects what you believe about God as well. For example, if you don't pray at all, it reflects that you don't really believe that you need God to be active within your life. That's what it reflects. Or you don't believe that He answers prayer. We don't pray. Why bother to pray? I don't believe that I need God, or I don't believe that God answers prayer. If you pray very small prayers all of the time, it probably reflects that you don't believe that God is a God who can answer the big things of life. If all you do is pray about big things across the sea, but you don't pray about the small things within your life, it means perhaps that you think you can handle everything on your own and you don't need God to handle anything. So what we pray for and how we pray for it reflects what we believe about God. If almost all your prayers are about yourself, you know, bless me, bless mine, multiply my finances. Now, we all need to pray those prayers sometimes, but if that is the total of our prayer, Lord, just help me, comfort me, be with me, strengthen me, work in me, let me find $20 that nobody can claim, Lord, work in me. It begins to reflect the belief that we actually believe that God is there to serve me. And that it's all about me. And if that's our prayer, our view of the world and our view of God is just too small. And the problem with people who pray that kind of prayer continually is this. When God doesn't do what they want. Anybody ever pray and God didn't do what you wanted? Okay. I got both hands up. Because there have been lots of times that I prayed and God didn't do what I wanted. He did what He wanted. And He's God. He gets to do that. But if your prayer and if your faith revolves around you, when God doesn't do what you want Him to do, you get offended. You begin to say, well, God must not be real because otherwise He would have given me what I wanted because I prayed and God was supposed to do it. You begin to get offended because, you see, what you pray about reflects your belief in God. You know, our language reflects our belief in God as well. You ever seen or really, maybe this has happened in your life, that you come to a difficult situation or you come to a problem in life and you're trying to figure out how to navigate it, how to get through it, and it's a really tough situation, and you've done everything you know to do, and you've tried everything that's worked in the past, and you've gone above and beyond, and you've Googled, and you've talked to people, and you've done everything you can possibly imagine, and finally you come down to it and say, well, all we can do now is pray. All we can do now is pray. We've done everything else we could possibly do, and now all we can do is pray. When prayer is our last resort instead of our first resort, it reflects what we believe about God. Now, I believe in doing everything that we can. I believe in doctors. I believe in medicine. I believe in getting help that we can. But I also believe that prayer shouldn't be our last resort, that last Hail Mary thing that we're going to try because everything else that I've tried hasn't worked. But prayer should be at the first as our recognition that God is at work within our lives, that God cares. How we pray, what we pray, reflects what we think about God. I want you just to take a minute And I know I don't often do this, but take a minute right now. And I want you to think about what you prayed for this past week. And what I want you to do, if you have a bulletin, I know there's space on the back for writing notes, but I want you to take on your bulletin, it's not show and tell. You don't have to tell anybody what you're writing, but I want you to write down what you prayed about last week. Okay, just take a minute, write down what you prayed about last week. Just jot it down, just take a minute. While you're doing that, I'll take a drink. Now, someone might say, I don't think I really prayed at all last week. That says something. Or I can't really remember what I prayed for. I know I prayed, but I can't remember what I prayed for. Now, let me ask you this question. Well, you got your prayer list there, some of the things. I know that you probably prayed for people, but let me ask you this question. If God were to answer every prayer that you prayed last week, just you prayed it and it's like he stamped it done, what would it change in the world around you? Why don't you just think about that just for a minute. If you prayed and God said, done. And you prayed again and God said, done. What would it change if God miraculously said yes to everything you prayed? What would be different in the world today? You see, chances are good if it's like many people in our culture who pray and in North America, the only things that would be different would be things that are very close to you. My child would be blessed at school. I would be blessed with a raise and a promotion. I would be healed. My friend would be healed. Things around me very closely would change. You know, if you're single and you're looking to get married, you know, God would have given you a great-looking, intelligent, well-mannered, loving person of the opposite sex who's a Christian, first of all, and on fire for God. Because, you know, that's the prime criteria for a mate. It's really not how hot they are. Or how smart they are. It's do they love Jesus? You know, you would have gotten the raise. You would have qualified. If you were trying to buy a house, you would have qualified for the mortgage you were afraid you weren't going to get. You would have had things going well for you. Your friend's marriage would have been healed. All of these things would have happened. But what would be different in the world today if God answered every prayer that we prayed? Now, let me take you back to our text. Last week, we talked about how Peter, after healing a lame man who had been lame for 40 years, Peter was taken into the court, the Sanhedrin. We talked last week about how they would form a circle and put the person on trial in the center. And Peter and John were on trial because they'd healed a man, and he picked up his bed. And there were those who got bent out of shape about it. And so they began to question him. They said, by what power? How did you do this? And Peter said, oh, I don't know if you want to know this. But it's in the name of Jesus and through faith in his name that this man is made whole. And Peter began to boldly speak to them. He began to tell them, this is what God is doing in this man's life. You'll remember as well that Peter, who had had a lot of good intentions prior to the resurrection and prior to Pentecost, he had a lot of good intentions. He started well, but he didn't always finish well. But on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached boldly to 3,000 people. A hostile crowd. He preached and 3,000 people were born again. The church gets off to a great start. Peter begins to speak boldly to the Sanhedrin. And he begins to tell them that Jesus is Lord and you crucified him, but he rose again and he reigns now. He was bold. And so he's on trial. And there's such boldness. The religious leaders would have loved to have them killed. They didn't like what they were doing, but the crippled guy was there. And they couldn't deny it, and so they knew that if we want to have these guys thrown in jail, or if we want to have them killed, that we're going to have a problem because everybody sees the lame man that was healed. So we can't do that. And so, against their own wishes, they had to release Peter and John. And we're going to pick up the story in verse 23. That as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. So they went to their fellow believers. They said, "You've got to hear about what happened to us. They've told us that we can't speak anymore in the name of Jesus, that we're not to do anything in his name anymore." And I want you to notice in the next verse what the Christians did. Verse 24, when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God, O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. They lifted their voices in prayer to God. There is something incredibly powerful that begins to happen when believers together begin to lift their voices in prayer to God. It's one of the reasons why we come together on a Sunday morning, because there is something incredibly powerful that begins to happen. Jesus said that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There is something that happens when believers join their faith together and begin to call on God. They begin to pray. To pray. You see, there's something that happens when you pray individually. God is there. But there's something incredible that happens when you pray with others. You may not have a lot of faith about something, but you get in a prayer meeting with other people or in a service with other people and you hear somebody else praying. And it's like you get to climb up on the shoulders of their prayer. Your faith may have been weak, but you hear them, and it's like you get to climb up on the shoulders of their prayer. And as they pray and as you pray and you begin to pray, it builds your faith. And then there's a cumulative, there's an exponential faith thing that begins to happen when believers begin to pray together. That's why, you know what? That's why we talk about prayer meetings so often. That's why we have them on Sunday before the services and Wednesday before the service and Saturday night. It's not just because, well, you know, we're supposed to have prayer. It's because when believers gather together to pray, there's something that can happen. You can come into prayer meeting depressed and discouraged, but you hear somebody praying and thanking God for what he's done, and there's something contagious that begins to happen in your spirit. Hallelujah. When believers begin to pray together. That's why we gather at the front when we have a prayer time at the end of the service, because I know we can pray as we're all scattered out, but there's something about it when we get in proximity together and we begin to pray and we begin to build each other's faith as we pray together. That's why prayer meeting is important. When you read scripture, you find that there's power when believers come together in agreement before God. The day of Pentecost happened. The Bible says that they were all in one place, in one accord. It doesn't mean they were all the same and all had the same things going on in their life. It meant they were coming together with a common purpose, a common focus. In our scripture, they began to pray. They said, "Oh, sovereign God." That means you're the king, you're the one. You're in charge ultimately over everything. And I want you to notice how what their prayer was focused on. Verse number 25. You spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. Notice verse number 28. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. They started off their prayer with a massive dose of God consciousness. They said, God, we know. We know what you have done. We know what you are doing. And really, they were praying, we know what you're going to do. But here's the thing, God didn't need to hear that. God already knew that. But most likely what they were doing was they were posturing themselves. They were bringing themselves to the right position of worship to a holy God. And they were reminding themselves, God, you are supreme over all. And as I give you praise, it reminds me that whatever I'm facing today is smaller than the God that I serve. That's why when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, when you pray, I want you to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Because it reminds me that God is bigger than all my problems and he's bigger than all my fears. They prayed. They said, God, you're supreme over all. And then they prayed two very bold requests. And my prayer for us as a church is that we would pray and live these prayers. Because if we're going to make a difference in this world in which we live, in the culture in which we live, in a culture that in many ways is hostile to faith, we can't be half-hearted. We cannot be lukewarm. We cannot be merely cultural Christians who go to church because that's what Christians do. But there's got to be a holy fire and faith and boldness within that's inspired by the God who lives in us that says we believe that God is big enough that we'll put our mouth in action and our faith in action to believe God for greater things. And because I believe God for greater things, boldness is belief that is born out in behavior. And so because I believe God for greater things, I will act for God for greater things. Let's look at what they prayed. Request number one. They prayed for boldness. Verse number 29. O Lord, hear their threats. You notice they didn't say, strike them all dead. They didn't. They didn't say, kick them all out of office. You know, sometimes you kick them all out of office and what you get next is worse than what you had. Oh, there's a lesson there. He said, and give us your servants. Here's our request. Give us great boldness in preaching your word. They prayed, Lord, make us bolder than we've ever been before. And I'm thinking, isn't that what got you in trouble in the first place? You spoke boldly to a lame man and he was healed. You spoke boldly to the crowd and said, hey, it's all about Jesus and you need to understand who Jesus is. But their prayer at first was not, Lord, protect us. It's, Lord, give us boldness. that in a culture that is hostile to Jesus, that we can continue to speak. You see, if they had a consultant, a PR consultant, if they had somebody who was going to tell them, here's what you need to do, you know what they would tell them? You just need to back off for a little while. Let this all die down. Give it a week or two, a month. Let it all die down. Let them kind of forget about you. And then go back and hit it again. Let it die down. Let it calm down. Don't make it worse. Don't preach about Jesus publicly for a while. You can privately, but don't do it publicly. And just let it die down a little bit. But here I find, they said, Lord, give us more. Let our behavior be driven by our belief in a manner that's even more than what we've had. So that, Lord, when we think that we're afraid, let us speak boldly about you. Bring us to that place, because boldness is an other-centered prayer. You see, boldness typically doesn't help me, it helps somebody else. When we step out of our comfort zone and we say to somebody who's just told us they've got an issue in their life, and we step out of our comfort zone and say, hey, can we pray about that right now? That boldness does not help you, that boldness helps them. Because your prayer in their life right then can make a difference. And it can be that pivot point within their life that points them to Jesus. Boldness is an other-centered prayer to help others know the love of God. And then notice the second request. Verse number 30. They said, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They're praying big prayers. They're praying, Lord, heal sick people. Oh, how that needs to be the prayer of the church. Lord, don't just bless us and make us feel good, but Lord, heal the sick. Then they said, Lord, we want you to let miraculous signs and wonders be done. If people are demonically possessed, let them be delivered. Heal the sick, raise the dead, do miraculous signs. Lord, do the supernatural in front of us. If we want to make a bold difference, if we want to make a big difference in our world, we've got to begin to pray big, bold, audacious prayers, because what you pray for reflects what you believe about God. We pray small prayers. Lord, thank you for this day. You ever wonder if God isn't saying, you said that before. Sometimes we pray, God be with us, and I believe in doing that. Do you know what God is saying? Hey, I said I'd be with you. I'm going to be with you, and we need to recognize his presence. But could God be challenging us to dare to believe him for something that is so big that when it happens, everybody's going to know that God did it? You know, I was preparing for this message, and I started getting challenged. I'm not just preaching this to you. I started getting challenged. And so I started praying, Lord, we need $1 million. Now, you know, if we have $1 million, it's got to be a God thing. We were driving up to Gatineau last night, and Brother Brent and I were talking. I was telling him about this. And I decided that prayer was too small. See, here's why I was praying, Lord, we need $1 million. is because, you see, I can see a sanctuary sitting out behind this building. We don't own the property. But if I had $1 million, but you see, that's not all. If you're going to have a new sanctuary, you got to have some place to park cars. And so, I said, well, Lord, you know, $1 million would probably help us to buy the property on both sides of the church. But then we were driving along. And you know, when I was starting to pray that prayer, I forgot something. See, we need another $500,000 to do the paving and the other things that go along with it. So I got challenged again that if I can pray for $1 million, I can pray for $1.5 million. Now I know what you're thinking. Some of you are thinking right now, you're going through everybody in the congregation and try to figure out who's got $1.5 million they could give. Yeah, you are. That was what Brother Brent said last night. And unless some of you are hiding it extremely well. But you see, the point of a big prayer is not that I know where it's going to come from. I know a God who said the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. Yea, the gold and the silver and the earth are mine. And here's something you say, well, Pastor, $1.5 million. Hey, let me tell you something. If you had asked me 10 years ago if we could spend $500,000 or just under $500,000 and only owe $90,000, I would have looked at you and said, I don't know about that. But that's what we've been able to do. And God, let me tell you something. There were times in this whole building project, I didn't talk about it here, but there were times that things came up and extra work had to be done, and they'd tell me it's going to cost you, you know, $5,000 here and $5,000 there. And I look at it and say, well, I know how much we have. And we did not, but you know what? God has a way of coming through. And if God can come through with the fives and the 10,000s, let me tell you, God is big enough to be able to come through with the big thing. And I don't know when it's going to happen. But I do know this, that 100% of the prayers that you don't pray, you don't get. If you don't ask it, you don't get it. And so you can look at me and say, Pastor is unrealistic in his prayer. He should pray for $50,000. We can believe it. But if we're going to have bold prayers, we've got to begin to move beyond that. I use that as one example. But can we believe that God will use this church to begin to shake the West Island and to begin to shake our community for the name of Jesus? Can we dare to believe that? Can we dare to believe that? Can we dare to believe bold kind of prayers? That when you tell somebody who doesn't have faith, they kind of look at you and go, uh-huh. I've come to challenge us today. I know we need to pray for the small things. I believe that too. But I've come here today to challenge us to begin to pray the kind of world-changing prayers that affect not only my family or affect not only the people that are here in the church, but that begin to affect our city. The kind of prayers. See, sometimes we're caught in the kind of prayers that when you tell somebody what you're praying about, they say, I believe that can happen. But do we ever pray the kind of prayers that when you tell somebody, they say, Do we dare to believe that God is able to do above and beyond what we could ever imagine? Because that's what He said He would do. Do you dare to believe and dream a dream that is big enough that without God being in it, it can't happen? Do you dare to pray that kind of bold prayer that says, God, I know I can't do this, but You can. Let me just bring this to a close with our next verse here. And look at the answer. In verse number 31, it said, after this prayer, the meeting place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, they had already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They had been at Pentecost. They'd already experienced it. But the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What that means is that there was a renewal that took place in their life of the presence and power of God that was preparing them to step out into a hostile world and to dare to believe that God would be at work when they spoke, that God would be at work when they preached, that God would be at work where they live, that God would do things so far above and beyond. And today, I've come to challenge you. You might not be praying for $1.5 million for yourself, but you can pray for it for the church. But a bold prayer may be that that person in your family that you think is so hard they could never be saved. It may be time to start claiming them boldly in prayer. It may be praying, God, widen my circle of influence for You so that I can come in contact with people that I never dreamed I could touch in the name of Jesus. It may be to begin to believe God, that God can bring about things in your community, in the area that you live, because of the witness that you have, that God would allow you to be that kind of person and influence. For those of you who are in university or CJEP, or I think the high schoolers are downstairs, but it may be, God, let me have an impact on my high school, on my CJEP, on my university, that God, they will know this is a God thing. Bold prayers. Bold prayers. As we stand together this morning, I want to ask you, what bold prayer is God inspiring you to pray today? What prayer is it that is so much bigger than your capacity and capability that God wants to inspire you to pray? Say, Pastor, why are you trying to get us to do this? Because I believe that there are some miraculous things that God has in store for us, but He's waiting for somebody to begin to pray that big, bold prayer. I'm not talking about just when we get together in church, but on your own, at home, or wherever you are. God, I'm believing You. Let me tell you what will happen. Boldness is behavior born out of belief. As you begin to pray a big prayer to a big God, it will begin to change the way that you see yourself and the way you see things around you. Bold prayers. The disciples prayed in such a way that later people in the city would say that those that have turned the world upside down have come here too. They face persecution, they face being put in jail, they face being put to death, they face losing their stuff. But they said, God, give us boldness. Let us shake our community. Let us shake our city. Let us shake our world for you. What bold prayer could God be inspiring you to pray today? What big, audacious thing and dream could God be inspiring in you to believe for you? Say, Pastor, well, I had this thought, but you know, it's so big and so, I just don't. Do you believe in a big God? Do you believe that God can do big things? See, sometimes we ask God, Lord, just do this much. And God's saying, why don't you ask me to do like this? We're going to pray right now. And I'm going to pray for us all that God would inspire us to believe for bold things. That God would speak faith in our hearts to pray and believe for bold things. And that when God inspires us and speaks to us, that we would be able to step beyond our fear and our timidity to touch others. Paul told Timothy that God's not given us the spirit of fear. Some translations say he's not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Dare to believe. I am looking forward to the testimonies that are going to take place because somebody dared to believe for a big thing, an impossible thing. See, God deals with the impossibilities. Join me in prayer right now. Father, I pray that you'll take the word that's been spoken, and I pray that you will challenge us with it right now. I pray, God, that you're in your power and presence, that you would speak. Lord, I pray for individuals here today that you would inspire them to begin to pray a prayer that's bigger than they ever thought they could pray. Lord, I pray as a congregation that you would help us to lift our eyes from ourselves, Lord, to begin to pray in new ways for our city, for our province and our nation and our world. I pray, Lord, as you give us the opportunity, Lord, that you would enable us to pray for that boldness to step out. And Lord, that you would give us that boldness that we would be able to step out in faith. Lord, to minister, to help, to heal. I pray, Lord, that we would have the kind of faith that believes you for the miraculous. The faith that believes that you're able to do above and beyond anything we can imagine. Lord, I ask you for that to happen in us today. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I ask you for it now. Inspire right now, Jesus. Touch right now, Jesus. In your name. In your name. In your name. We're going to have a prayer time. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. The Bible says that when they prayed together, the place where they were met, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the place where they were met together was shaken. I want to invite you to step out of your seat and come down to the front here today. Say, well, Pastor, God can touch me here where I am. Yeah, He can. But there's something that happens when God's people pray together. And I want to invite you, if you're willing to say, God, I want you to do something big, bold. I want you to do something above and beyond, not so that I'm glorified, but so that you are glorified. I want you just to come and stand here with brothers and sisters. We're going to pray together. Because before we can really impact our world, we need that presence and power of God to move through us that shakes us. And I want to invite you to step out of your seat. This isn't a matter of whether you're under conviction or not. This is a matter of I'm choosing to believe and I'm going to come and join together with others to believe together. And together we're going to believe. Together. You see, our coming together at the front today is symbolic of our joining our faith together to believe God. Will you come? We're not going to ask you to do anything else but to pray. That's it. Just step forward as far as you can. There's lots of room here, but step forward. Your prayer today, that's it. There's lots more room. Just keep stepping forward. Keep stepping forward. Keep stepping forward. I want you right now, if you would, if you're comfortable, lift your hands, lift your voices.